offer Rubble to join her. Rosemary lifted up her first prize, fluttering in a blue pouch. I deserve a bottle of wine for this. Now the Grants are sitting beside the traps at the edge of a cliff, 100 meters above the Pacific Ocean. Except for the honking and whistling of two masked boobies, courting on a rock nearby, the scene is quiet. The ocean is more than Pacific. It is flat as a pond. The morning's weather is what Charles Darwin described in his diary when he first saw the Galapagos Archipelago. A steady, gentle breeze of wind and gloomy sky. From the upper rim of Daphne Major, on clearer mornings than this one, Rosemary and Peter can see the island of Santiago, where Darwin camped for 9 days. They can also see the island of Isabella, where Darwin spent 1 day. They can make out more than a dozen other islands and block lava ruins that Darwin never had a chance to visit, including an islet known officially as Sin Nombre, that is, nameless, and another black speck called Eden. If I have seen further, Isaac Newton once wrote with celebrated modesty, it is by standing upon the shoulders of giants. The dark volcanoes of the Galapagos are Darwin's shoulders. These islands meant more to him than any other stop in his 5-year voyage around the world. Origin of all my views, he called them once. The origin of the origin of the species. The Grants are doing what Darwin could not do, going back to the Galapagos year after year. And the Grants are seeing there what Darwin did not imagine could be seen at all. Rosemary unlatches their toolkit, a tackle box. From it, Peter extracts a pair of jeweler's spectacles, a plastic mask with bulging lenses, which make him look like Robinson Crusoe from Mars. Okay, famous bird, Peter says. Ow, famous bird has decided to bite the hand that feeds him. He grasps the finch with one hand, and its head sticks out observantly from his fist. The bird is about the size of a sparrow and jet black, with a black beak and shiny dark eyes. Rosemary hands Peter a pair of calipers. Now, here we go, Peter says. Wing length, 72 millimeters. Rosemary jots the number in the yellow notebook. Tarsus length, 21.5. The tarsus is the bird's leg. Rosemary writes it down. Beak length, 14.9 millimeters. Peter recites. Beak depth, 8.8. Beak width, 8 millimeters. Black 5 plumage. The Grants rate the bird's plumage from 0, which is brown, to 5, totally black. Black 5 means a mature male. Beak black. Normally, these birds' beaks are pale, the color of horn. A black beak means the bird is ready to mate. Peter dangles the bird in a little weighing cup. Weight, 22.2 grams. This bird has lived a long time, he muses, 13 years. There are only 3 others of its generation still alive on the island, and none older. But I don't think there's a single one of his offspring flying around. Not one has made it to the breeding season. The bird has been a father many times, and never once a grandfather. Peter puts a gray ring and a brown ring on the bird's left ankle. He puts a light green ring over a metal one on its right ankle. Bands like these, and an ingenious color code, help the Grant team to keep track of their flocks from dawn to dusk, from the cliffs at the base of the island to this guano-painted rubble at the rim. Peter holds the bird in his fist one more time and inspects its beak in profile. In rushing up to join Rosemary at the rim, he has forgotten his camera. Otherwise, he would photograph the bird just so, from a distance of 27 centimeters. That is the Grant's standard mugshot for one of Darwin's finches. The origin of species says very little about the origin of species. Darwin's full title is On the Origin of Species by Means of Natural Selection, or The Preservation of Favored Races in the Struggle for Life. Yet the